Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. We have learned in John chapter 12, verse 42, that many of the authorities believed in Jesus Christ, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. And for a good reason, it tells us, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of man more than the praise of God. Two of those officials were Nicodemus and probably Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body of Jesus and prepared it for burial later. But up to that point, they may have believed. But if they did, they were not announcing it publicly. Would a believer today be afraid to confess that he is a follower of Jesus Christ? If so, for what reasons would he do that? Now that's worthy of our consideration. You and I are sometimes put into a situation where we are reluctant to speak up. Now I don't think we ought to be fools and invade the privacy of somebody just to blurt out that we are followers of Jesus. That's hardly the way it ought to be done. But when the subject of Christ or our life does come up and someone asks, "Why do you act like you do?" or "Why do you hold that position?" could you or would you say, "Because I have believed in the Son of God, and this is what He expects of me"? Well, that's our chance to speak up. And if we don't, maybe it's because we are afraid, or maybe it's because we really don't believe. Now, in the case of those rulers in Jerusalem, it is said that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That is a serious statement. If that be the case with them or with us, it seems like it would be evidence that such men do not love God as Jesus said men should love God. He said it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, when he was asked, "What is the great commandment?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment." I am impressed with this comment from John Calvin, who said, "Rulers have less courage and constancy because ambition almost always reigns in them." To put it in a word, he said, "Earthly honors may be called golden shackles binding a man so that he cannot freely do his duty." In John chapter 9, verse 22, we read this, "For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue." What does confess mean? It means to agree with something. If the authorities believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, how could they not publicly acknowledge him? Perhaps this was a limited belief that they had, and that may explain why they did not confess. Confess means to agree with what someone else has said. And Jesus had said that he was the Christ. If you agree with it, you confess it, and you're not afraid to make it known publicly that you agree with Jesus. Now, the resurrection, of course, made a big difference, because we read in the book of Acts in chapter 6 that they were extremely bold after the resurrection. It tells us in chapter 6, verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." The priests were leaders in that society. How can you account for the boldness and the lack of fear of the disciples in Acts chapter 6? It was the resurrection that did it. The leaders of Judaism could bring about a man's death, but they could not keep this man dead. And this was another proof that he was the Messiah. Now, this vast number of people who heard Jesus loved the praise of God more than the praise of man. When I hear that expression, the praise of God, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, a real Jew, who is one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and real circumcision is a matter of the heart, spiritual and not literal. His praise is not from men, but from God. There were Jews living in that first century, some at least, who really believed. They had something within them. They were not concerned about the externals of their religion or seeking the praise of men. That's what the Pharisees did. And you remember how Jesus talked about it. He said they go out into the street corner and blow their trumpets when they are giving something to God so that everyone will know how generous they are. And when they fast, they don't want to fast in secret because that's kind of miserable. They want to get credit for fasting, of course. So they go out on the corner with ashes on their head and they tear their garments so everyone will know how pious they are. What are they seeking? The praise of men. Now, true Christianity is the same way. You believe in the one God has sent, and you don't care whether you conform to what everybody else in religion does. They may have their practices, their services, rituals, and all their activities, but the true believer is content that he is doing what God wants him to do. As a Christian, I don't need to go along with the crowd. So many people who follow the crowd are not really true believers. And you can say the true Christian is one who is inwardly changed by God. He seeks the praise of God, not man. Now in John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." This section marks the end of Jesus' public ministry in this gospel, and it seems as though John again wanted to emphasize the importance of what? Well, what's John been emphasizing all through this gospel? The need for believing in Christ. And he puts some emphasis on that again as he quotes Jesus, and in doing so, he also brings out the unity of Jesus with the Father. Now, this is a doctrine which is not accepted by everybody. They don't believe that Jesus and God the Father are one. There are some Christians who believe that Jesus was a prophet, a good man, but not equal with God. However, Jesus claimed to be equal with God. There are some cults that say that Jesus was a prophet, or a fine religious leader, but not the Son of God. However, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. The Christian church traditionally has believed in the doctrine of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the reason it believes that is because the Scriptures support it. How many gods do you believe in? People ask. Well, the true Christian believes in one God, but in three persons. Where do you get that from? The Bible. And this passage is one of those where Jesus himself claims, "If you hear me, you hear him. We are one." We need to spend a little bit of time on this. This is an important doctrine. Any attitude that I have toward Christ is the same attitude that I have toward the Father. And if I doubt Christ, that means that I doubt the Father also. They are one in essence, although they are different persons. Jesus came expressing the Father both in word and in deed, and when Philip asked, "Show us the Father," Jesus gave him an answer that is final. This is authoritative. It's in chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. "He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Now, friends, is there any person in the world who could make a claim like that, like Jesus did? No one was in the Father. and the Father was in no one in this sense. And if you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. I wish I could say that about myself, and you wish that you could say it too. As a Christian, you would like to reflect Christ, and you'd like to reflect the Father. But no matter how much we grow or to what degree of maturity we ascend, we'll never be quite there. We'll never fully reflect the Father like Jesus did, because we are sinful. But Jesus was not. When you saw him or heard him in any situation, he was completely representing the Father and was totally correct in everything that he said and everything that he did. But I am not. I make mistakes. I misspeak. And I don't act as the perfect man should. That doesn't really bother me. I'm waiting for my redemption fully, when I will be transformed and my body will be glorified. That will be the time when I fully reflect all the glory of the Father. While we're down here, we are simply trying to learn more of the Word of God and grow more, so that we can have Christ in us and reflect him to the utmost degree. Yes, it's wonderful when you can look at a person and can say, when I look at that man or that woman, I see Jesus Christ. The best way to bring that about, of course, is to be full of grace and truth. And if you don't have grace and truth, you don't even remotely resemble Jesus Christ, because that is what characterized him. Now, we saw this same expression here, the one we have in John 14, he who has seen me has seen the Father, in verse 45 of our text of John chapter 12. And it's almost identical, these words of Jesus. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. This unity of the Father and the Son is why Jesus could say in John chapter 5, verse 23, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. There are many people who come knocking at your doors who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They do not give Jesus the honor due him. And what does this tell us about them? They are not witnesses of Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. Instead, they are denying him. They are dishonoring God instead of honoring him, because they don't honor the Son. To know Christ is to know the Father. If I love one, I love the other. And if I don't love Christ, I can't say that I love God either. Now, this teaching about the equality of Christ to the Father is brought out strongly in the Gospel of John. We have discussed it time and time again as we've gone through this Gospel, and all of these broadcasts are on cassette tape for your further study. You can get information about how to purchase these tapes of the Gospel of John by writing to the Radio Bible Course. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please tell a friend. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.